by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Thank God for our youth and thank God for all of you present. We're especially thankful for those of you who are visiting with us. We always say to you, always feel welcome to come and share with us in our worship experience here at the Mount Olive Church. And if by chance you're looking for a church home, it's a good place to be. Amen. We need to make sure we're doing a lot of praying now because there's a whole lot of stuff. I don't know if you're listening to that news.
Yes, Lord.
Going on.
Yes, it is.
Not only have we lost some members, those in bereavement, Brother Jeremiah and the Fosters, but there's some folk passing right now from Ebola. We got another case in Dallas. This stuff has made it over here. And we pray that they can stop it in its tracks so that it doesn't spread and be throughout the United States. There's wars going on overseas. So much stuff going on, so we need to make sure that we're praying. We continue to pray for all of our members. We continue to lift Sister Gorman in prayer. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Good to see Brother Coleman here today.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. And others. I won't be long, but I would call your attention to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 18. And we want to read a few verses. And let me say, since I'm so behind time now, our association district meeting will be next week, this week. I'm thinking it's another week off, but it's this week. Thursday, Friday. I don't know what's going on here. I'm sort of backwards this week. Amen. If that guy said amen, be a little more time, say hold on. Somebody say hold on. All right, hold on, wait on it. Jeremiah chapter number 18, that's in the Old Testament. Amen. Beginning at verse 1, we will find these words. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again unto another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, said the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. We thank you now for everything that has gone on thus far. We ask that you just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. In that anointing, we ask that you grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, for a little while, I'll talk from the subject, have your way, Lord, in my life. Have your way, Lord, in my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On last week, thank you, Aisha, we asked the question, can God use your life? And the answer to that question is yes. We found out that your past condition, your present circumstances, personal characteristics, or any of your private concerns cannot keep God from using your life. We found out that the only thing and the only one that can hinder God from using your life is you. because God won't make you do anything. You're the one who must surrender your life to him. But now the only way you can do this is to let the Lord have his way in your life. And that's my subject this morning, have your way, Lord, in my life. And so let me begin by saying that this parable of the potter and the clay illustrates God's power over the nation of Israel, meaning God had the power over the clay, which represents Judah, and he continues to work with it to make it a useful vessel. Because only God has the power to take nothing and mold and shape it into something beautiful and useful. And yet, God has bound himself to do what is right for each of us. But again, I say he will not force his will upon any of us. Meaning as we respond to him, he's free to respond to us. And so in order for God to work out his will as well as his purpose in our lives, we must willingly let go and let the Lord have his way in our lives. And so the big question of the hour is, are you willing to let go and let God have his way in your life? And so as we examine Jeremiah's visit to the potter's house, we hope to show through the potter this morning how patiently and tenderly God molds and shapes our lives from something worthless to a vessel of worth and usefulness. And so with your prayer, there are about three pictures I'm going to lift from the text, and I want nobody to take a nap, and I'll be through. Number one, God is the potter. Note text says, the word which came to Jeremiah for the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. My brothers and sisters, just as the potter has a perfect plan for the clay and he sees the finished product in his mind, in the same way God has a perfect plan for each of our lives, and he also sees the finished product. And that's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 2 and 10 when he said, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But now we cannot see the finished product of our lives. All we can see is what has already taken place and what's taking place in our lives right now. But God sees the finished product. And that's why we need to let go and let the Lord have his way in our lives. By realizing that our lives are not in the hands of some invisible force or blind fate, but our lives are in the hands of the Almighty God, who is not only the creator of everything, but for those of us who are saved, he is our Father, which means he has a personal concern for each of our lives. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so just as the potter patiently works the clay by tenderly molding it into the shape of what he would have it be, my brothers and sisters, in the same way God wants to direct our lives and fulfill his will in us, but you've got to let him have his way in your life. But let me say to us, especially to the children this morning, that God uses the hands of others to help mold and shape you into what he would have you to be. In other words, he uses the hands of parents, the hands of teachers, the hands of preachers, and the hands of fellow Christians to help mold and shape your lives. My brothers and sisters, God even used the hands of our enemies who persecute us and do all manner of evil against us to accomplish his will in our lives. And that's why we must be willing and patient to let go and allow the Lord to have his way in our lives. Because it takes time, Brother Jeremiah, to make a worthwhile product. And God the potter is patient with us. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9, in plain and simple terms, it says the Lord is really being slow about his promise, as some think, but he's being patient for your sake, because he doesn't want anyone to be lost, but he wants all and everyone to come to repentance. And so the text says that the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and there he would speak to him, meaning God would give Jeremiah a revelation concerning the house of Judah as he watched the potter work his work on a wheel. And so Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. Now remember, I told you that the potter represents God. But secondly, we are the clay.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
So God is the potter, and we are the clay. But don't forget now, Jeremiah's message in the text concerning the clay actually represents the people of Judah. And so we know that verse 6, it declares, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, said the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. But having said that, as God's children, we are not wrong in applying this to our lives. Because my brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are also God's vessels to contain the treasure of the gospel. But even more, as humans, we are all made of clay, and clay is only dust mixed with water. And that's why the psalmist declared in Psalm 103 and 14, he says, for he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. But I thank God this morning that the water of the Spirit that he's given us who are saved is life and life eternal through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But now, clay is of no value by itself, but it can be molded and shaped into something of great value if it's molded by the right hands for the right purpose. Because my brothers and sisters, only God can calculate the tremendous potential in an individual's life.
Uh-huh.
But now the most important quality of the clay is that it yields to the hands of God the potter. And so let me ask you this morning, are you yielding your life to the hands of God? Are you letting him have his way in your life? Because clay cannot mold itself. It must have a potter, meaning there are no self-made Christians in the will of God. But let me put a pin here, because when I say clay cannot mold itself, I'm not suggesting that we play no part in the fulfilling of God's will in our lives. Because we are not just inactive or resigned, mere lumps of clay in the hands of God, meaning God wants each of us to play a part by cooperating with him as we pray, meditate, obey his will, and yield to his tender touch. But you got to, in order to do that, you got to just let him have his way in your life. And so God is the potter, and we are the clay, but finally, your life is the wheel. My brothers and sisters, the wheel that the potter was working on represents our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Jeremiah says in verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel.
Yes,
I can imagine, Brother Jones, that Jeremiah stood there watching the potter work his work on the wheel. He no doubt noticed that the wheel spun around swiftly as the potter was working his work.
Yeah.
I've been noticed that it was the potter alone who controlled how fast or how slow the wheel spun around. Would bring to mind those old Singer sewing machines with the foot pedals. I remember my grandmother used to have one, and she would be sewing on that old machine. And sometimes she would make it go fast, and sometimes she would make it go slow. Because the foot pedal determine how fast or how slow you wanted to sew a stitch, whatever it was on the machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this says to us this morning that our lives are not controlled by chance or luck, but they are controlled by the hands of the Almighty God.
Yeah.
Meaning God alone arranges and controls the circumstances that surround our lives.
Yeah.
Yes, my brothers and sisters, he does this as he molds and shapes us into what he would have us to be. And that's why we must always remember that no matter how bad things may seem, I stop by to tell you, God is still in control. For instance, in the life of Joseph, Isaac's youngest and favorite son, when his jealous brother sold him into slavery, guess what? God was behind the whole thing. My brothers and sisters, as bad as it may have seemed, it was God who arranged for Joseph to go down to Egypt, where he would mold and shape him into becoming the prime minister of Egypt, eventually saving his family from a great famine, and where God's chosen people grew into a nation. But now, in order for God to mold and shape Joseph's life, he allowed Joseph to go through some trying circumstances. He was sold in the slavery. He was falsely accused and cast in the prison before the Lord lifted him up the way he wanted him to be. My brothers and sisters, perhaps many times we wonder about the dark circumstances that come into our lives. And especially when we feel that we are giving our all. Which means that it may make us feel that God is in some way being unkind. But if you just hold on and remember that no matter what comes into our lives, I tell you, God is always in control. And then you'll begin to realize the truth of Romans 8 and 28 that says all things, both good and bad, work together for the good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And so Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. But then he says in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Well, yes, Brother Buckner, perhaps a stone was in it and caused the clay to become stiff and unmanageable, meaning the clay would not take the shape that the potter was trying to put it in. But notice, if you will, that the potter didn't throw the clay away and start over with a brand new piece. No, but the text says in the B part of verse 4, so he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. In other words, they just started all over again with that same lump of clay. My brothers and sisters, here we have a picture of the rebellion of mankind and God's restoration by grace. Because many times we too mar in the hands of God the potter when we refuse to yield to his touch. But in the same way, I'm glad Rev. Smith, he doesn't throw us away. But he just starts all over again. And he reshapes us by taking out the bad spots in our lives. And he continues to mold us and shape us into what he would have us be. Because God is gracious to forgive us, and he's gracious to make us all over again. But we got to let go and let him have his way in our lives. But now, even when you yield to his touch, God still allows us to go through the furnace of difficulties and trial in life. Although we note that Jeremiah doesn't mention anything here in the text about a furnace, but the furnace had to be there because a vessel isn't worth anything until it has gone through the furnace. Because the heat of the furnace is what gives the clay strength and beauty. The heat of the furnace is what increases its value and usefulness. And in the same way, our lives must go through the furnace of difficulties and trials if our lives are going to have any worth. Because God's people have always gone through the furnace of trials and tribulation. And that's why Peter said, 1 Peter 4:12-13, he said, "Beloved, do not think something strange is happening concerning the fiery trial in your life, as though something strange is happening to you. But he said, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Simply put, he said, don't be surprised or shocked that you're going through some testing. As if you're walking through fire. But be glad for the chance to suffer as Christ suffered. It will prepare you for even greater happiness when Christ makes his glorious return. Now, here Peter is writing to the early Christians who are going through intense persecution for Christ. But since God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, meaning God's word never changes, Peter is also talking to anybody here today who's facing some fiery trial in your life. Because the good news is Jesus promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And that's why he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so as I try to move to the close, the bottom line is, as the potter works his work on the wheel, which represents our lives, in the same way God works his work in our lives, and he's always in control of the outcome of the clay. In other words, nothing can come against us without God's permission, meaning whatever God allows us to go through is for our own good and for his glory. And so as the potter is working his work on the wheel, molding and shaping the clay to become something of value and worth, so the Lord wants to mold and shape your life to be a life of purpose, a life of obedience, a life of peace and joy. But you got to let him have his way. But now the only way we're going to be able to let the Lord have his way in your life, you got to totally surrender our lives and our will to his will. Because only those who serve with implicit obedience can expect joy and blessing and approval of God. And so let me try to close by saying, if you don't remember anything from this message, please don't forget to let the Lord have his way in your life. Yes, because Jesus is our supreme example. And that's why Peter says again, 1 Peter 2:21, he said, "Because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps." Because the Bible says, on the night of Jesus' betrayal, his soul being exceedingly sorrowful unto death, he fell on his face and he prayed 3 times. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine." Jesus is saying, in essence, "Father, just have your way." Yes, sight. The cup is bitter, to have your way. Pardon, the cross is a place of torment and a place of shame. Because your words say, cursed is he who hangs on a tree, but have your way. The cross is a place of intense pain as well as suffering, but have your way. And so Jesus allowed evil men to nail him to an old rugged cross, where he died between two thieves for the sins of the world. On these three crosses, one man was dying in sin, one was dying to sin, but Jesus, he was dying for sin. Thank God, all right. And so he died that we might live. But thank God, the story didn't end on Calvary. Because 3 days later, after laying in the grave, right early Sunday morning, Jesus got up from that grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. We say to us this morning, even if our suffering causes us to have to give up the gold, don't worry, because one day we'll rise again. Because the Bible says those who die in the Lord will one day be raised up to be with him. But in the meantime, we got to let go and let the Lord have his way in your life. Lord, I'm burdened, but have your way. When trouble comes, have your way. Tears flowing down my cheek because of pain and sorrow, but have your way. When my way gets dark and dreary, have your way. When I don't understand what you prepared me for, just have your way. As the songwriter say, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me, I say, mold me, and make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yield it still. Hey, Lord, all right. Have your way, Lord, in my situation and in my life. Because you are the potter, and I am the clay. But before he can have his way, you got to first give your life unto the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, has he saved your soul? Yeah, Lord, you know him for yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I'm in the hand of the potter. He's molding and he's shaping me into what he'd have me to be. I mess up sometimes and mar in his hand, but he just take the bad spots out and start molding and shaping me all over again. Hey, Lord, all right. Do you know him this morning? Don't fool me now. If you know it's all right, if you hear you say yes, say yes, oh yeah. I know the Lord, he's all right. He brought me from a mighty long way. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, but that's all right. I'm in the pot of pain. Can't nothing happen unless he allow it. Yeah. I don't care what you're going through, let him have his way. If you let him have his way, by yielding to his tender touch, I tell you everything will be all right. I'm not talking about in the sweet by and by. I'm talking about right now. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you joy, and this joy the world can't give, and the world
we know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time. We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.